We have two scriptures this morning, both of which you are familiar with. But listen with new ears. There may be something that you haven't heard before. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. And now from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice, but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days, he was with the disciples in Damascus. These are the words of God for the people of God.
Who likes change? Show of hands, who likes change? Anyone? We got a couple half hands, maybe three or four. The people online, there's like no one raising their hands. Got to make sure they feel included in this community. And you, if you didn't raise your hand while you're at home, I'm sorry. But we don't like change very much, we human beings, do we? It's not a particularly pleasant experience. It's hard because what we know is passing away and something new is coming. And I think ultimately one of the main reasons that we don't like change is because we don't have control. We don't have control over what's coming, over what has passed, and we are control freaks. Some of us more than others. But we do not like change all that much. Also, I think because there's often a sense of loss that comes from that as well. But there's something about life that troubles me. Life is change anyway. It doesn't matter how much I resist, how much I push back, how much I try to avoid change, change is going to come. Change is perhaps the only constant in life, that and taxes. The question is not, are we going to experience change in our lives? The question is, how are we going to experience it? How are we going to respond when things don't go the way that we want them to? When we are approached with new opportunities, I'm sorry, I keep walking in front of you. When we are approached with new opportunities, how do we move forward with those? Do we embrace them? Do we try to hide them and push them back? Because change is going to come. When I was growing up, one of my favorite books, some of my favorite books were Dr. Seuss books. My favorite book was actually Lyle Lyle the Crocodile. There's just something about the swish, splash, splash, swoosh in the bathtub of a New York high-rise that just makes me really happy. But and those books are well-worn. You can really tell on the corners, and there's tape on it everywhere. I really love those books. But my second favorite set of books were Dr. Seuss books. And the first book that I ever really learned how to read was Green Eggs and Ham. It's not necessarily my favorite book, but it is the first book that I remember my parents reading to me as a child. It is the first book that, like I said, that I ever learned how to read. The author, Theodore Seuss Geisel, was a particularly interesting human being, one whom I am fascinated with myself. But his story is quite interesting. Pastor Barry included some of that story in his email this Friday. But Dr. Seuss was a student at university and worked for the Jack-O-Lantern, thank you, one of the local newspapers. He didn't make grades, and so he wasn't allowed to post anymore, and so he came up with the moniker Dr. Seuss to avoid being caught. During the war effort, he ended up producing many of the cartoons and informative videos that were helped to not only raise funds for the war effort, but also to train various folks who joined the military. And then post-war, Dr. Seuss realized that there was an epidemic happening in the country. Children's reading levels were plummeting. Children weren't being able to read in the same way as they were in the past, and critical thinking skills weren't as strong. And so Dr. Seuss took on a personal task of helping to improve children's ability to read. And so he started writing books for kids. And his publisher at Random House bet him $50 in 1960 that he couldn't write a book using less than 50 words. Dr. Seuss won that bet and wrote Green Eggs and Ham. But before we dive into that, I want to talk a little bit about the Ecclesiastes text. So I think one of the things we see in this text is that, again, change is going to come. But as we look through that list of the various examples of things that come in our world, how many of those do we have control over? Very little. We certainly have influence, but ultimately we have very little control regarding the ways that change is going to impact us. We human beings cannot control the way that the seasons change and move, do we? We decide how we respond to them. But winter and summer and spring and fall will come whether we are ready for them or not. And more than likely, they'll go backwards and then forwards again, and then backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, because, you know, that's where we live these days. But one of the particular challenges that we face when we encounter change is the choice that we have to make of how much control are we willing to let go of, and how are we going to respond to this new thing that's happening around us. But the thing that I most particularly love about this Ecclesiastes text, other than the fact that it reminds me of a fabulous song by the Byrds with a Y, and if you've not listened to that song, I feel particularly sorry for you and commend you to listen to it when you get home. Again, that's Byrds with a Y. It's spelled weird, but just do it. Lost myself for that for a second. The thing I particularly love about this text is that it begins with new life. It begins with birth. And as we go through, is everything that happens in that string of text particularly pleasant? Does everything go well in life? Does everything go the way that we want it to go or the way that we planned it to go? But what has the final word? Peace. God's love. God's acceptance. And so, no matter what changes we may experience in our lifetime, whether they are positive or whether they are negative, whether we have learned something new and discovered a new taste for something new, or if we have walked away more convinced of our position than we were before, God will be with us in the end. And that, to me, is the good news of this text from Ecclesiastes. That no matter what change and challenges that we may face, that God will still be with us in the end. But this book, Green Eggs and Ham, I'm going to read it. Matthew, can we get a nice close shot of the book? Okay, not of me, of the book. The people don't need to see my complexion at home. I'm going to read it. Now, I do have a disclaimer. I do not read this in the way that my father reads this. And in my professional opinion, there's only one human being who is ever allowed to read this book. That is my father. But he is not here today, and I did not ask him to record a video. So that's my fault. So I'm going to read it. The words will be up on the screen. I'm still going to try to do this awkward read side thing here. We're going to see how that goes. All right. Green Eggs and Ham by Dr. Seuss. I am Sam. Ooh. I am Sam. Sam, I am. That Sam I am, that Sam I am, I do not like that Sam I am. Do you like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam I am. I do not like green eggs and ham. Would you like them here or there? I would not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam, I am. Walking away in a bit of a huff there. Would you like them in a house? Would you like them with a mouse? I do not like them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am. Would you eat them in a box? Would you eat them with a fox? Not in a box, not with a fox, not in a house, and not with a mouse. I would not eat them here or there. I would not eat them anywhere. I would not eat green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am. Would you, could you, in a car, eat them, here they are. I would not, could not, in a car. You may like them, you will see, you may like them in a tree. I would not, could not, in a tree, not in a car, you let me be. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I do not like them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam I am. A train. Would you on a train? Not on a train, not in a tree, not in a car, Sam, let me be. I would not in a box. I could not, would not with a fox. I will not eat them with a mouse. I will not eat them in a house. I will not eat them here or there. I will not eat them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam, I am. Say, here in the dark, would you, could you, in the dark? I would not, could not, in the dark. Could you, in the rain? I would not, could not, in the rain, not in the dark, not on a train, not in a car, not in a tree. I do not like them, Sam, you see. Not in a house and not in a box, not with a mouse and not with a fox. I will not eat them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. Do you not like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam I am. Would you with a goat? I would not, could not with a goat. Could you on a boat? I could not, would not on a boat. I will not with a goat. I will not eat them in the rain. I will not eat them on a train, not in the dark, not in a tree, not in a car. You let me be. I do not like them in a box. I do not like them with a fox. I will not eat them in a house. I do not like them with a mouse. I do not like them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. I do not like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam, I am. You do not like them, so you say. Try them, and you may. Try them, and you may, I say. Sam, if you will let me be, I will try them, you will see. He's trying them. Say, I like green eggs and ham. I do, I like them, Sam I am. And I would eat them in a boat, and I would eat them with a goat. And I will eat them in the rain, and in the dark, and on a train, and in a car, and in a tree. They are so good, you see. I will eat them in a box, and I will eat them with a fox. I will eat them in a house, and I will eat them with a mouse. And I will eat them here and there. Say, I will eat them anywhere. I do so like green eggs and ham. Thank you, Sam, I am. One of the best books that has ever been written. And the story is pretty simple. Dr. Seuss said that when he wrote books, he didn't write with a moral or a lesson in mind. They just wrote themselves. But the reason why I love this story is because there's a self-fulfilling prophecy of sorts happening here. Our main character, who doesn't have a name in the book, but in the Netflix adaptation, is named as Guy I Am. He is so convinced that he won't like green eggs and ham that he refuses to even engage. The problem is that he doesn't know what he's missing, does he? You know, when I was in elementary school, we had a Dr. Seuss day. And you know what they served? Green eggs and ham. You know what I refused to eat? Green eggs and ham. Because it's, you know, doesn't look natural. Green eggs and, you know, ham, they're not supposed to be that color. It, you know, made me feel kind of sick on the inside. But when we are faced with new opportunities, with trying new things, with doing things in different ways, we are forced to consider whether we are going to give it a chance. Now, there is a very real danger and a real possibility that we might try it and still not like it. I cannot stand seafood. My family on the East Coast that I now have is convinced that I don't like seafood because I was born and raised in Kansas, to which they probably have a pretty good point. But I don't like it. I don't know why I don't like it. I just don't. But we were in the Gulf Shores last spring break, or two spring breaks ago, I can't remember. Anyway, we went to this seafood place. I could see the Gulf from my chair, and so I said, you know what? We're gonna try some seafood. So I got a platter, had shrimp, had catfish and lobster and crab and all sorts of things. And still don't like it. Still really, really don't like it at all. And I will never need to try pineapple on pizza because I know that's terrible. I know some of you are wondering how I was gonna work that in today, so you're welcome. But there is a very real possibility that when we try things, when we try new things and when we experience change, that we might not actually like it. That it may not actually go the way that we wanted it to. But we never know unless we actually try. And you never know, like in Guy I Am circumstance, it becomes his new favorite thing. But again, change is hard. Our story from Acts, read for us today, is the conversion of Saul to Paul. And this is, I think, one of the greatest examples of change in our scripture. Here we have this man named Saul who has spent his life hunting down Christians, hunting down people who represent a change in his life and in his faith and in his community. And he reacts out of fear. Now, to be fair to Saul, he has reason to be afraid. Saul's fear is that if the Christians keep acting up, if they keep calling into question the Roman state and keep saying that there's this God that's more important than even the Romans, that the Romans will get really, really angry and come after Israel, come after all the Jewish people. And his fear is not unfounded. Because within 60 years, the Romans do come and indeed sack Jerusalem because of how things have gotten out of hand. But Saul is so afraid of what might happen in his immediate future that he feels the need to lash out of fear and misunderstanding. And he experiences this moment on the road to Damascus in which God confronts him face to face. And he experiences a profound change that changes the very way he understands himself and the world around him. There is a literal and metaphorical 180-degree turn with Saul's life. He goes from being one who kills apostles to being perhaps the most successful apostle that has existed in the history of the church and has led to countless more in the thousands of years since. This is the most profound change that we see in Scripture. And so the question that I ask myself on a regular basis when I read this story is, if God can do that for Saul, what can God do within me? If God can bring this kind of change in a person like Saul, how can God change me? But Saul isn't the only one who's changing in this story, is he? He's not the only one who's faced with a challenge. He's not the only one who faces trying something new. We have our friend Ananias. And honestly, I think the challenge that Ananias faces might indeed be greater than Paul. Because Ananias is on Paul's list, or Saul's list. And Ananias has every right to be afraid of Saul. And so the faith that it would require for Ananias to welcome this man into his home, knowing what he has done to his brothers and sisters of faith, it is one thing for us to change as individuals. It is a whole nother for us to allow others to change. and to give them the space to be something new. It's one thing for me to change. It's a whole nother for my friends and my family and those who love and care for me, for the stranger to recognize and to give me permission to change. Because Ananias had an opportunity here to say no. To refuse to engage with this. To continue to be caught up in his own emotions of fear and anxiety. To be caught up in what he thinks he knows about this person. But change isn't just about how it changes the individual, it's how it changes the people around us too. And about how we are willing to give others the space to change for themselves. And far too often, we do not give others the space to do so. We do not give space for others to grow. We do not give space for our minds and our opinions of people to change. But again, we come to this problem that we don't know if the change is going to be good or not. Because it might go horrifically. And so we have to have faith. Have faith to know that no matter what we face, that God will be with us. My wife and I have season tickets to the Kansas City Current women's soccer team. And they recently built a stadium downtown, and the parking is terrible. It's horrible. And she and I were both just lamenting, along with some of our friends who go to games as well, about just how terrible this was going to be. It's out in the middle of nowhere in downtown. I mean, I know it's not in the middle of nowhere. We live in Gardner, so, you know, it's way up there. There's no parking. There's no public transportation. This is going to be terrible. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be awful. What's the point? Why did they build this darn stadium so far away from us? And we convinced ourselves of this fact that it was going to be impossible, me more than her. But it's been one of those really amazing experiences to be a part of this community as we've moved forward. As we've all kind of, all of the fans who have been going downtown have learned to love one another, respect one another, give each other space to live and move and breathe. But when we encounter change, we have to decide how much space we're going to give for that change to occur. Are we going to convince ourselves that we're going to hate it, that we're not going to like it, that it's not going to go the way we want it to? Are we going to create a self-fulfilling prophecy of refusing to engage or even creating the monster that we hope never comes? Or are we going to allow God to work in and through us so that change may come not just here, not just there, but anywhere? Amen.